Since our nation's founding, the wall of separation between church and state has offered essential protection for both. Government was not to be subverted in the interests of one religion at the expense of those who do not subscribe to it, nor was the free exercise of religion to be mandated or restricted by government. But in the same way that the constitutionally protected right to free speech nonetheless is abridged by the well-known shouting fire in a crowded theater exception, so too must certain acts be exempt from religious protections. We certainly don't shield cult leaders who inspire criminal behavior and mass suicide from prosecution, even if they act in the name of religion. So what about pastors who insist faith will immunize their flock from the deadly COVID-19 virus? That theoretical question faced a very real-life test in the state of Florida this week as authorities took megachurch pastor Rodney Howard Brown into custody. We are very fortunate to have with us the man who had the weight of that decision on his shoulders, State Attorney for Florida's 13th Judicial Circuit, Andrew H. Warren. Mr. Warren, thank you so much for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here today.
What led to the decision to actually take action in the case of Howard Brown?
Well, Hillsborough County, which is where Tampa is, had passed a local rule promoting social distancing. And it was following best practices by the CDC. And the idea was that we were supposed to limit gatherings to no more than 10 people and to maintain proper 6 feet of distance between. As across the country, we try to flatten the curve and deal with this unprecedented challenge. Locally, we've been pushing for compliance. There's been a lot of conversations between my office with businesses and religious leaders about how they can continue providing the services that they provide while maintaining compliance with the order. This particular pastor and his church indicated that they were not willing to adjust what they were doing to be in compliance with the order. They ended up holding a service of 400 to 500 people on Sunday morning where people were standing essentially shoulder to shoulder with each other. The sheriff's office had gone out to speak with them to tell them that they couldn't do that, to discuss how they can make accommodations. In short, just said, look, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do that. When he had made it clear that he was putting his own self-interests above that of not only his parishioners, but everyone else in the community by blatantly violating our social distancing law, we had no other choice but to go ahead and have him arrested to be charged.
Mr. Warren, what was he charged with?
He was charged with two separate crimes. One is for the violation that's passed by our county. And the second was for unlawful assembly, which is basically where you have three or more people who are to violate a law. Both of those charges are in Florida, what are called second degree misdemeanors. They're essentially the lowest charge under our state law. Each is punishable by a maximum of 60 days in jail, 6 months of probation, and a $500 fine. So these are it's a very low level offense. Especially considering that he may have subjected not only the 400 to 500 people in his church to harm, but thousands that they may have come in contact with afterwards.
Can you recall a similar situation in recent memory, or is this case truly unique?
Dealing with the individual and the facts of the case and the criminal history, this is unique because it's the first time we've had someone who is just so willingly disregard the law in terms of the social distancing mandate that we have in the county and now that our state has in place as well. It's a challenge. You know, it's not a fun decision to make when we know people are going to church in a time of uncertainty. and a time of fear, where a pastor, and to give him the benefit of the doubt, is trying to provide that spiritual guidance to people. But you can't do it in a way that completely disregards not only the laws that are put in place to protect our community, but frankly, the sacrifices that so many other community members have made. When all the other houses of worship in our community are not doing that, for one person to say, well, that's an extremely selfish act.
I want to ask you, how is this different from any other cases that you've had? And was the number of potential victims a factor in what was going on?
It is, to the extent that it shows how blatant the violation was. For example, we have a rule in place. Our local ordinance for social distancing is 10 people. If there had been 12 people there and the or any other person had said, well, we're not going to make accommodations, perhaps we wouldn't make the same decision. But when we're talking about 500 people, that's a huge difference. Because again, not only are those people following the pastor's lead, now granted, they're all making their own decision to be there, but pastors have a lot of influence over their parishioners. And where we've had other pastors who have embraced social distancing and advocated people to stay at home and to conduct religious services online and virtually, their congregations have done that. So here we had those congregants, those parishioners who can be viewed as victims, but it's really the risk that they're going to go and spread that, because the argument that, well, these people made the choice themselves to be there really doesn't hold any water if those people aren't continuing to stay in the church for the next month. Once they go back into the community, to our grocery stores and our doctor's offices and our pharmacies, they're now interacting with a lot of other people.
Mr. Warren, what else did you take into account when making this very difficult decision?
Well, we looked at not just what the pastor's actions were, but obviously the nature of the conversation that he had with our sheriff. If people are willing to make adjustments and try to be compliant, and there ends up being some small disagreement about whether they are or not in compliance, it's a separate calculus for us than it is when someone says, I don't really care what you're telling me to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. So we're looking not just at the refusal to be flexible about it, the insistence of subjecting the parishioners to harm, the back into the community and spread COVID-19 to other people, but also, of course, the constitutionality of the law, the penalties under it. And we thought, with everything in place, all the sacrifices that were being made that were on clear constitutional grounds, that two misdemeanor charges were appropriate for someone who was so egregiously violating the social distancing law.
Yeah. Would you talk about how your office has to look at this kind of situation in both a religious context and a secular context?
Well, we don't look at it any differently. It doesn't matter whether they're at a park or at a restaurant or in a house of worship. If they're violating the order, our law enforcement partners are going to ask them to disperse and negotiate how they can what they're doing to come into compliance. But if at the end of the day, if you are refusing a lawful order from law enforcement to stop what you're doing, and you simply refuse to comply, you run the risk of being charged.
Mm-hmm. Has this situation revealed loopholes in public safety legislation that will need to be addressed once this crisis is over?
Hillsborough County's order is more restrictive than some other places around the state. And yesterday, our governor just passed a stay-at-home order that sets a baseline for social distancing. I think just the different orders have led to some confusion. And it's hard because the vast majority of people want to do the right thing. They want to comply with the law. They want to practice social distancing. They want to keep their family safe and their neighborhood safe. When you have different rules coming out, and frankly, the rules changing every few days across the state, you have people who aren't sure whether they're complying with the law. And that's why we are so focused on promoting that compliance. We're not looking to go out and just arrest people as soon as they step over the line here. But that's not what happened in this case. Again, the pastor simply refused to do what he was told by law enforcement. And as the state attorney, our priority is public safety. And make no mistake, this is about the health and safety of our community.
I'm sure your work is made much more difficult by the of a clear national stay-at-home order. Where else do you find yourself needing to take action to try to help protect Floridians?
Of course, we have voices in our local government who are lobbying, who had been lobbying our governor and continue to lobby our governor for change. But my focus as state attorney is to enforce the laws in a way that is promoting public safety. And so when we have people who are going to follow the laws, that's fantastic. When we're going to explain it to them. And when we have people who are putting their own self-interest above the safety of everyone else in the community, that's when we have to use the hammer of the criminal justice system to coerce compliance.
Would you talk about what these past few weeks have been like and what you are preparing for in terms of the weeks ahead?
These are strange times. I think it's no different here than it is for anywhere across the country, especially in a larger metropolitan area. About 1.5 million people in the city of Tampa's 350,000. So we're dealing with a lot of the same issues where our schools are now closed, where our criminal justice system has had to shut down many of its daily operations and essential operations that are constitutionally required and those that are necessary to promote public safety. But candidly, there are so many people across our community and country who are struggling both with the health risks of this and with the economic impact. My office, this is really an inconvenience more so than a life-changing event. And we're well aware that we're fortunate that, you know, we're dealing with adjustments to our daily jobs here, but we're healthy and we're going to continue doing what we can for the people of Hillsborough County.
The Honorable Andrew H. Warren is State Attorney for Florida's 13th Judicial Circuit. Thank you so much for valuing our Constitution, and thank you for being interested in the health of our nation, and thank you for taking this time to be with us on State of Belief Radio. It's not an easy thing you're doing, but it is a very good part of our nation being what our nation really is. Please stay healthy as you continue your important work.
Dr. Gaddy, thank you so much.